The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for February, is a daily devotional resource for Lent titled Restore the Roar. It's written by Issues, Etc., regular guest Dr. Reed Lessing. You can read an excerpt of Restore the Roar at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase this Lenten devotional by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Restore the Roar costs only $2.29 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Well, most people are kind of tickled when their church or their church body makes it into the news. I'm not, because generally speaking, the news is not good. And it's not that my church body is always up to some kind of mischief. It's that it's so difficult, and I really do sympathize with reporters here. It's so difficult to understand the position of confessional Lutheranism. It just is. We are weird. In the eyes of the culture, we are, and that's the lens through which most of journalism looks at religion, a cultural and a political lens. Now, my church body made the news this last week. You probably read about it if you were paying any attention. It was over an incident of syncretism. That is, a pastor who, after the Sandy Hook shootings, took part in a syncretistic prayer vigil. That is, the mixing, the public mixing of various religions. In this case, Christianity with Islam, Baha'i, and Sikh, just to name a few. And that made the news. And there was a lot of confusion over syncretism itself in that coverage. There was even more confusion over the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's opposition to syncretism in that coverage. Joining us to talk about media coverage of syncretism, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway. She's a reporter in Washington, D.C., a regular guest and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back.
It's always nice to be here.
Why is it so difficult to cover syncretism and even more difficult to cover opposition to syncretism?
Well, I think that you nailed it. It's just we live in a world that has already been syncretized, so opposition to the blending of religions is very confusing. It's you know, in my neighborhood, everybody has those coexist bumper stickers where you have each letter of the coexist representing a different symbol, and the subtext is, you know, that we should take the best from each tradition and blend them together, and each religious tradition, as they say. And in newsrooms, this is almost something of a motto. Religion is reduced to sort of an ethical belief system. Doctrinal differences are confusing and rarely explored. Frequently, also, if they are explored, it's in a negative fashion. So it's just a difficult context for people who do not believe in syncretism.
So when you say that the culture has been syncretized, are you saying that what we would call in a technical sense, the mixing of different religions and confessions of faith is considered the norm in the culture?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty fair to say. It's not that you won't find people who don't do it, but in general, I think that, you know, whether it's in the popular culture, the media in general, you see this sort of smorgasbord approach to picking and choosing what you like out of various religions and then just blending them together however you want. So then it becomes that the people who don't do this are the weird ones.
So what does the average religion beat reporter, and there's so few of them now, but what does that reporter do when he comes across a story of syncretism and then a church body's opposition to it?
Well, you know, and again, generally, if a reporter gets a story about an interfaith worship service, they like covering this. They get to cover all the different religions that are part of their beat, and it's a very usually feel-good thing, people coming together in a common worship service to pray to their various gods, and it's just a nice photo opportunity, and it's usually you can write up a nice follow-up story to whatever precipitated the reason for the interfaith worship service. So you already have to start with that perspective first off. And generally when this has become a news story for Lutherans, it's not in a favorable context because these interfaith worship services are taking place after a tragedy. That's when they usually get the most media coverage, and that's also when the temptation to participate in an interfaith worship service is at the highest. And so when you have the context that we're talking about, which was after the horrible Newtown massacre, and the local pastor participated in this prayer vigil that had different religions represented, That would be a normal thing for a reporter to cover. When some people in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod took issue with how this violated what they say the church has agreed not to do, it just seemed harsh. It was hard for reporters to understand.
Okay, now you speak not only as kind of from the reporter's standpoint, you also speak as a member of a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You've written recently, getreligion.org. This is a really serious issue for us. Explain that.
Well, it has a big part with our founding, the whole reason why we came to the United States. I mean, my parents are converts to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and my husband's a convert. So when I say the big reason why we came to America, I'm speaking of the Lutherans who came in mass in the middle of the 19th century, was because they were being forced to worship with people that they weren't in fellowship with. Now, it was mostly in a unionistic context, and unionism is where you're blending worship with other Christians, whereas syncretism is when you're talking about people outside the Christian faith. But this is a big reason why we were forced to flee Germany and come here to the United States. We take it very seriously. It's a very important part about our founding. And we are also kind of known for our doctrinal rigor on matters, and this would be no exception. And so, I'm just piling up a bunch of things that make us different than the way that many Americans practice their religion. But this is just this is one of those things that really is important to us.
Now, let's get your opinion here. How do you think the general coverage of this little hoopla for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and syncretism went this last week? How did the media do in getting the facts right and in getting the story right?
They basically missed the entire story. They missed the subtext to the entire story, and many were just going with outrage. They had found this tweet from a Vanity Fair reporter who, was just spewing rage at the church, and that kind of seeps through in a lot of the coverage that we saw. The whole thing that happened in our church body is that basically this was kind of quietly dealt with. And normally when you have a issue like this, you might have charges and countercharges and people going through a big, judicial process. And the president of our church body, I think, wisely thought that was not a good idea. So he just kind of quietly handled it and then announced it, to the LCMS, saying that this is to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that he'd sort of taken care of it. But there are people who want to change they want to change church teaching on this, and they don't think that we should forbid interfaith worship. And they kind of took advantage of it and went to the media. And it worked out pretty well for them. So
how would you characterize, say, for instance, the paper of record, the New York Times, eventually, at least the online edition, carried a story about this? How do you evaluate that story?
I actually thought that was far and away my favorite story. It was, it's a story that no matter how you present it, it's probably not going to go down very well with people who do appreciate or support interfaith worship. But I thought it actually got the details right on, and it explained what the nature of the church's opposition to these types of services are, and it also got the perspective of people who want to change church teaching on this matter, and I actually think they did a pretty decent job.
Well, in that New York Times story, one of our district presidents is quoted, and while we can never know a motivation for speaking to a reporter, someone might say, look, he's got an axe to grind. This is a guy who himself had a run-in with syncretism about 10 years ago, and more than one, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. How does a reporter guard against a source like that kind of taking advantage of the reporter for his own opportunity or his own political opportunity?
Okay, in this case, the district president in question was the local district president. I think it made sense to quote him. He is, he's been in the news before for this type of thing. I was a little bit more concerned with the way the St. Louis Post-Dispatch seemed to have been completely fooled into taking a story that has sort of been revealed to be very political now. They had people calling for the current president's head, people who are now running to replace him in office, and they totally missed, completely missed what was going on in that story. I'd be much more concerned about that. The only way to protect yourself from this type of problem is to make sure you're speaking with a wide variety of sources so that they can give you the context and they can tell you what the backstory is. It's hard to do when you're working with religious organizations, frankly, because religious organizations don't like to talk to the media a lot, particularly if they know the press isn't going to be favorable. So it's a very difficult thing to do. You have to know a bunch of people who can speak to the issue so that you're not just getting taken for a ride by people who do have an axe to grind or people who do want to change church teaching, and that they are framing the entire story for you and putting everything in the terms that are most favorable to their political cause.
I'm curious about your thoughts on this. I mean, kind of being in the media, is it a no-win situation for a church body like the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod to deal with the press, given the fact that our teachings are so far out of step with pop culture and with this syncretized culture that you have so well described? Your thoughts with about a minute.
I think that there's plenty that we can do. I do believe that everyone in the LCMS probably understands that on this particular issue, they're never, ever, ever in a million years going to get favorable coverage. But one thing that I think is important is that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we speak of having a focus on witness, mercy, and life together. This is really dealing with witness, our emphasis on doctrinal purity, and that is a very important part of what we do. It's also important that we work with the media to tell the story about how much we care about mercy work and also just Christian life together, which also played a role in this story and all the stories that the church is involved in. So I think that there's no need to be afraid of media coverage or whatnot. You're never going to get a favorable thing on something like this, but the reporters aren't out to get you necessarily, and they're happy to hear a story that's much more fleshed out about the whole work of the church.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C. She's a contributor to GetReligion.org. You can read her recent blog post titled Covering Opposition to Syncretism in a Syncretized World under the Listen on Demand page at IssuesETC.org. Molly, thanks again.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Pastor Tom Baker about the temptation of Jesus. That's tomorrow on the program. Look, this is part of being the Christian church in the world. We cannot expect the world to understand. We can expect reporters to try to understand, to try to get the facts right, to try to get the story straight. But we cannot expect the world outside the church to understand why we believe what we believe, why we practice what we practice, why we don't do the things that we sincerely believe we should not do. Now, while we can't expect the world to understand, and that's quite true, we have to continue to speak clearly to the world what it is we do believe and teach and confess. The press is not always the best place to do that. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.